Good morning. Once again, like the weeks prior, I'm not Pastor Jess. I am Pastor Josh. I'm the associate pastor here at Calvary Bible Church to youth and families. And this morning, it is my privilege to stand before you and bring God's word. But before that, I did want to give you a quick update on what's going on with the youth of our church. God is blessing. He is so gracious. He has allowed a number of our students to go on missions trips even this summer already and to serve God and to live out their faith abroad. This last month in youth, we've averaged about 30 students, and did a new series that I've never done before and I didn't think I would ever do, but I opened up the whole youth group to questions. So for the month of May, I had students submit anonymous questions, and the month of June, and now in the month of August also, we will be answering those questions. And it's quite awesome to see what the youth are questioning, what they're thinking, what they want to understand. We answered questions that ranged from God's sovereignty, to why pray, to divorce, to how do we fulfill the Sermon on the Mount when Jesus tells us to love our enemies and yet fight against terrorism? We answered all kinds of questions, and now in the month of August, we're going to spend 3 to probably 6 weeks on talking about what does God say about dating? I had a number of students ask, is it okay to date? What does the Bible say? So the students have lots of questions, and thankfully it's not me that is answering them, it's the scriptures. I am pointing them to God's word because he does speak, as the song just said. He does speak to us, and his truths are unchanged from the dawn of time, and they do echo down through eternity. So much great things are happening at youth. We are taking a 5-week break this summer so that Missy and I can go on vacation for a couple weeks, and then so also that we can serve at camp for a couple more weeks. Be praying for our youth. There are a lot of them, and I do need help. So if anyone wants to come and help on a Tuesday night and just hang out and help manage, you are more than welcome to be there on Tuesdays from 6:30 to 8:30. Now, as I transition into our message this morning, I want to ask a question. Have you ever pondered, have you ever thought, what would it be like to be Daniel or David or Ezra or a saint of old? What would it be like? What would my life look like if I was that person? Have you ever thought that? Have you ever worked through that? Have you ever thought? Now, David was anointed king, and then he fled Saul's persecution for years. How did he persevere? Why did his life look like it did? Would I have done the things that David did? Would I have persevered like him? Would I have led like him? Would I have failed like David? Or even Daniel. What would it have been like to be Daniel? To be in the beginning of the Babylonian exile, taken from home and land and family to another place, and then taught and fed and working your way up through another nation's government system to becoming a leader. Would I stand like Daniel stood on the word of God? Would I follow the convictions of the Holy Spirit within me like he did? Or even Ezra. What would my life look like if I were Ezra? Would I have followed in the footsteps that he did? Would I have followed God's command to rebuild Jerusalem and to reinstitute the worship of Yahweh? What did he do? What did his personal life look like so that these men could do the things they did do? Well, I think from the text this morning that we will get a glimpse, just maybe, of what their personal life looked like, what their thought life was like. This morning we're going to be in Psalm 119. Psalm 119. And no one really knows who the author of Psalm 119 is, but David, Daniel, or Ezra are three really good potential authors of this psalm. Or it could be someone who is entirely unknown, but someone who loved God's word. Psalm 119 is basically smack right in the middle of your whole Bible. It's the longest psalm at 176 verses. It's also the longest chapter in all of the Bible. Psalm 119 is an acrostic. It's alphabetic in style. Each paragraph is 8 verses. And each verse begins with the same letter in each paragraph. So, for instance, verses 1 through 8 begin with Aleph, the first letter in the Hebrew alphabet. Verses 9 through 16 begin with Bet, the second letter in the Hebrew alphabet, and all the way through 22 different letters. It's pretty interesting that God, in his sovereignty and grace and his inspiration, allows an author to use artistic creativity to write God's word. Psalm 119 is a very artistic psalm. But it's also a deep and hard psalm. The psalmist, who, like I said, could have been David or Daniel or Ezra, was persecuted by men of rank and authority. He was ridiculed for his beliefs. The people were seeking to put him to shame and make him give up his faith. But meditating on the word of the Lord strengthened him. To him it was his comfort, his prized possession, his rule of life, and his resource for strength. All of which drove him to desire God's word more and more. The psalm simply is a collection of prayers and meditations on the word of God, which is mentioned nearly every verse. Using 10 synonyms, the psalmist refers to the word of God in 10 different words, using law, ways, precepts, statutes, word, testimonies, commandments, rules, promises, and judgments. What I'm hoping to show us in Psalm 19 is four characteristics of the person who desires to grow in and know God's word. Four characteristics of the person who desires to grow in and know God's word. Before we read the text, let's pray. Father, your word is truth, and it is good, and it is right. It is unchanged. It is unchangeable. Father, it's our refuge. We shall rest in it. John tells us that those who are following after Jesus purify themselves just as he is pure. Father, just purify us. Purify us by the washing of your word this morning. Help us to understand it. Help us to know it. Help us to be changed by it. Let this psalm show us characteristics of a life that is growing in your word, that knows your word, that is loving you. Work, O Lord. Let not my words come forth, God, but yours. Help us, even through this text this morning, grow a deep desire to know you and to know you by your word. We praise you that we can know your word. We praise you that we have your word. We praise you more of all for Jesus. It's in him we rest, and it's in his name we pray. Amen. Now I'm going to do something bold, and I'm going to read the whole of this psalm. And I ask you, please don't just tune out, but really tune in. Listen to the words of this psalm. It's going to be long, but that's okay. God's word washes over us. It should be our meditation. It should be our desire. We should want to hear it and to know it. While you're listening, think of the characteristics this psalmist brings out. Think of the words that he uses when he speaks of God's word. Tune into this. Don't just get lost in your thoughts. The psalmist writes, "Blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his commandments, who seek him with their whole heart, who also do no wrong, but walk in his ways. You have commanded your precepts to be kept diligently. Oh, that my ways may be steadfast in keeping your statutes. Then I will not be put to shame, having my eyes fixed on all your commandments. I will praise you with an upright heart. When I learn your righteous rules, I will keep your statutes. Do not utterly forsake me. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I declare all the rules of your mouth. In the way of your testimonies I delight, as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will declare in your statutes, and I will not forget your word. Deal bountifully with your servant, that I may live and keep your word. Open my eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. I am a sojourner on the earth. Hide not your commandments from me. My soul is consumed with longing for your rules at all times. You rebuke the insolent, accursed ones who wander from your commandments. Take away from me scorn and contempt, for I have kept your testimonies, even though princes sit plotting against me. Your servant will meditate on your statutes. Your testimonies are my delight. They are my counselors. My soul clings to the dust. Give me life according to your word. When I told of my ways, you answered me. Teach me your statutes. Make me understand the way of your precepts, and I will meditate on your wondrous works. My soul melts away for sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word. Put false ways far from me, and graciously teach me your law. I have chosen the way of faithfulness. I set your rules before me. I cling to your testimonies, O Lord. Let me not be put to shame. I will run in the way of your commandments when you enlarge my heart. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I will keep it to the end. Give me understanding that I may keep your law and observe it with my whole heart. Lead me in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to selfish gain. Turn my eyes from looking at worthless things and give me life in your ways. Confirm to your servant your promise that you may be feared. Turn away the reproach that I dread, for your rules are good. Behold, I long for your precepts. In your righteousness, give me life. Let your steadfast love come to me, O Lord, your salvation according to your promise. Then I shall have an answer for him who taunts me, for I trust in your word. and take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for my hope is in your rules. I will keep your law continually, forever and ever, and I shall walk in a wide place, for I have sought your precepts. I will also speak of your testimonies before kings, and shall not be put to shame, for I find my delight in your commandments, which I love. I will lift up my hands towards your commandments, which I love, and I will meditate on your statutes. Remember your word to your servant, in which you have made me hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, that your promise gives me life. The insolent utterly deride me, but I do not turn away from your law. When I think of your rules from of old, I take comfort, O Lord. Hot indignation seizes me because of the wicked who forsake your law. Your statutes have been my songs in the house of my sojourning. I remember your name in the night, O Lord, and I keep your law. This blessing has fallen to me, that I have kept your precepts. The Lord is my portion. I promise to keep your words. I entreat your favor with all my heart. Be gracious to me according to your promise. When I think on my ways, I turn my feet to your testimonies. Hasten and do not delay to keep your commandments. Though the cords of the wicked ensnare me, I do not forget your law. At midnight I rise to praise you because of your righteous rules. I am a companion of all who fear you, of those who keep your precepts. The earth, O Lord, is full of your steadfast love. Teach me your statutes. You have dealt well with your servant, O Lord, according to your word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I believe in your commandments. Before, I was afflicted. I went astray, but now I keep your word. You are good to me and do good. Teach me your statutes. The insolent smear me with lies, but with my whole heart I keep your precepts. Their heart is unfeeling like fat, but I delight in your law. It is good for me that I was afflicted, that I might learn your statutes. The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of gold and silver pieces. Your hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn your commandments. Those who fear you shall see me and rejoice, because I have hoped in your word. I know, O Lord, that your rules are righteous, and that in faithfulness you have afflicted me. Let your steadfast love comfort me according to your promise to your servant. Let mercy come to me that I may live, for your law is my delight. Let the insolent be put to shame because they have wronged me with falsehood. As for me, I will meditate on your precepts. Let those who fear you turn to me, that they may know your testimonies. May my heart be blameless in your statutes, that I may not be put to shame. My soul longs for your salvation. I hope in your word. My eyes long for your promise. I ask, when will you comfort me? For I have become like a wineskin in the smoke. Yet I have not forgotten your statutes. How long must your servant endure? When will you judge those who persecute me? The insolent have dug pitfalls for me. They do not live according to your word. All your commandments are sure. They persecute me with falsehood. Help me. They have almost made an end to me on earth, but I have not forsaken your precepts. In your steadfast love, give me life, that I may keep the testimonies of your mouth. Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly fixed in the heavens. Your faithfulness endures to all generations. You have established the earth, and it stands fast By your appointment they stand this day, for all things are your servants. If your law had not been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. But I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have given me life. I am yours. Save me, for I have sought your precepts. The wicked lie in wait to destroy me, but I consider your testimonies. I have seen a limit to all perfection, but your commandment is exceedingly broad. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Your commandment makes me wiser than my enemies, for it is ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, for I keep your precepts. I hold back my feet from every evil way in order to keep your word. I do not turn aside from your rules, for you have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I have sworn an oath and confirmed it to keep your righteous rules. I am severely afflicted. Give me life, O Lord, according to your word. Accept my freewill offerings of praise, O Lord, and teach me your rules. I hold my life in my hand continually, but I do not forget your law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, but I do not stray from your precepts. Your testimonies are my heritage forever, for they are the joy of my heart. I incline my heart to perform your statutes forever to the end. I hate the double-minded, but I love your law. You are my hiding place and my shield. I hope in your word. Depart from me, you evildoers, that I may keep the commandments of my God. Uphold me to your promise, that I may live, and let me not be put to shame in my hope. Hold me up, that I may be safe and have regard for your statutes continually. You spurn all who go astray from your statutes, for their cunning is in vain, and all the wicked of the earth you discard like dross. Therefore, I love your testimonies. My flesh trembles for fear of you, and I am afraid of your judgments. I have done what is right and just. Do not leave me to my oppressors. Give your servant a pledge of good. Let not the insolent oppress me. My eyes, they long for your salvation and for the fulfillment of your righteousness. Deal with your servant according to your steadfast love and teach me your statutes. I am your servant. Give me understanding that I may know your testimonies. It is time for the Lord to act, for your law has been broken. Therefore, I love your commandments above gold, above fine gold. Therefore, I consider all your precepts to be right. I hate every false way. Your testimonies are wonderful. Therefore, my soul keeps them. The unfolding of your words give light and imparts understanding to the simple. I open my mouth and pant because I long for your commandments. Turn to me. Be gracious to me, as is your way with those who love your name. Keep steady my steps according to your promise, and let no iniquity get dominion over me. Redeem me from man's oppression, that I may keep your precepts. Make your face shine upon your servant, and teach me your statutes. My eyes shed streams of tears because people do not keep your law. Righteous are you, O Lord. and right are your rules. You have appointed your testimonies in righteousness and in all faithfulness. My zeal consumes me because my foes forget your words. Your promise is well tried, and your servant loves it. I am small and despised, yet I do not forget your precepts. Your righteousness is righteous forever, and your law is true. Trouble and anguish have found me out, but your commandments are my delight. Your testimonies are righteous forever. Give me understanding that I may live. With my whole heart, I cry, answer me, O Lord. I will keep your statutes. I call to you, save me, that I may observe your testimonies. I rise before the dawn and cry for help in hope of your words. My eyes are awake before the watches of the night, that I may meditate on your promises. Hear my voice according to your steadfast love. O Lord, according to your justice, give me life. They draw near who persecute me with evil purpose. They are far from your law. But you are near, O Lord. And all your commandments are true. Long have I known you from your testimonies that you have founded them forever. Look on my affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget your law. Plead my cause and redeem me. Give me life according to your promise. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they do not seek your statutes. Great is your mercy, O Lord. Give me life according to your rules. Many are my persecutors and my adversaries, but I do not swerve from your testimonies. Look at the faithless with disgust, because they do not keep your commands. Consider how I love your precepts. Give me life according to your steadfast love. The sum of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous rules endures forever. Princes persecute me without cause, but my heart stands in awe of your words. I rejoice at your word. Like one who finds great spoil, I hate and abhor falsehood, but I love your law. 7 times a day I praise you for your righteous rules. Great peace have those who love your law. Nothing can make them stumble. I hope for your salvation, O Lord. And I do your commandments. My soul keeps your testimonies. I love them exceedingly. I keep your precepts and testimonies, for all my ways are before you. Let my cry come before you, O Lord. Give me understanding according to your word. Let my plea come before you. Deliver me according to your word. My lips will pour forth praise, for you teach me your statutes. My tongue will sing of your word, for all your commandments are right. Let your hand be ready to help me, for I have chosen your precepts. I long for your salvation, O Lord, and your law is my delight. Let my soul live and praise you, and let your rules help me. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments. Now, I know that was long, and I appreciate you hearing it. Every time I read that, I am just full of emotions because I can absolutely relate. I can feel the hurt in the psalmist. I can feel the angst in the psalmist. I can feel his emotions. Now, the first time I heard that read aloud was at a pastor's conference a couple years ago. And the whole time as it was being read, I couldn't help but think, the only person who has ever walked on the face of this earth that could truly uphold these words every day of his life was Christ. For he is God, and he suffered and was afflicted, but as his suffering increased, the grace abounded until finally at Calvary, he was crucified. He endured to the end, and the word of God was his hope. Many times, probably many more than are even recorded in the Gospels, Jesus got away to rest and to realign his thoughts, to realign his mind on God's word and to commune with his Father. It wasn't to go to the Bahamas and take a vacation. It wasn't to do the things that we think will give us rest. But it was to realign with his Father who was in heaven, who is sovereign and gracious and loved him and gave him the strength that he needed. So I do think that these words from Psalm 119 were often on Jesus' heart and mind. If not, they were his own words. And the only way for us truly to apply these words to our life is through the grace of the gospel. We will not seek God's statutes. We will not seek God and his commands unless we're saved. Psalm 119, 155 basically tells us that the wicked are far from you, O Lord. They're far from salvation because they do not seek after your word, because they cannot. But if you are trusting in Jesus, in his perfect life and perfect death to cover your sins and to make you right with God, you can, like the psalmist, dwell in God's word and find much comfort and hope from it. But it is only through Christ, because it's like the last verse says, I've gone astray. I'm like a lost sheep. And his cry to God is this, seek me. Because in us, sin continually dwells and we're continually running from God's word in our flesh. And we must rely on God to seek us, to save us, to pull us back to him, to realign us to his truth. It should be part of our life is to be aligned to God's truth. So what we are going to see in here in these next 15 minutes are four characteristics of the person who is growing in and knows God's word. How can we grow in and know God's word? According to Psalm 119, first it's by desiring to be taught, by desiring to be given understanding. Second, by meditating on God's word. Thirdly, by keeping God's word. And lastly, and most importantly, by hoping in God's word. First, let's look what it means to be taught. The psalmist cries out 11 times, teach me. And 5 more times he cries out, give me understanding. Both of these in the original are in a causative type sense. That it's not the psalmist himself teaching himself or giving himself understanding, but he's crying out to God, you, O Lord, teach me. You, O Lord, give me understanding. Not only is it causative, but it's in the imperative. So he is basically begging or commanding God to teach him, to give him understanding. If we want to grow in God's word, if we want to know God's word, and more than that, if we want to love God's word and have a desire continually for it, we must cry out to God, teach me, give me understanding. It's like a little child. I have 2 of them. And they are continually at my side when I'm at home working and doing things. Why? What is this about? Why are we doing this? How can we do this? Help me, teach me, show me. At times, I'm sure as parents, it gets annoying. Just let me do my thing and we'll show you later. It's like just this last week, I went fishing with a couple of students and Zeke went with me. And I cast out his pole for him, and it was fine. But then he reeled it back in, and he wanted to cast it out, and he wanted to do it again and again. And there were multiple times where I had to show him, Zeke, this is how you do it. This isn't going to work unless you do it this way. He didn't know that. I did. I taught him. That's just like God the Father. He has to teach us. There are many things we don't know. There are many anxieties and stresses that we're going to go through that God knows and has been through and has worked through. And we must cling to him and cry out to him, teach me, O Lord. Give me understanding, for you know and I do not. Your word is true and it holds truth. Teach me. Teach me. The interesting thing is as New Testament believers, as those who are covered and washed by the blood of Jesus Christ that live here and now, we have the Holy Spirit indwelling within us. And one of his key roles in the church age is what is called illumination. The Holy Spirit's role, as we read in 1 Corinthians 2, is to teach us, to show us, to illuminate God's word to us. I think we have a great Holy Spirit that dwells in us, that teaches us, that shows us, that enlightens us. We just need to take advantage of it more. We need to be in God's word to know it more, to be taught God's word, to be enlightened unto it. Beg God to teach you his truth through the power of the Holy Spirit. Secondly, what we see is if we want to grow in and know and love and grow a deeper desire for God's word, we must, as the psalmist does, meditate upon it. Now, the idea of meditation carries a negative, I would say, connotation in our minds and our culture. We think of people sitting around in a circle with their legs crossed, humming and trying to clear their mind of all things. That is not the meditation that the psalmist is speaking of. The psalmist didn't sit in his study and just hum. The psalmist meditated on God's word in the sense of marinating. Marinating. So when you want to make a nice steak or a piece of meat for dinner and you want it to taste good and not be dry, what do? You prepare beforehand and you put it in a sauce of your own choosing or making, so that the sauce can come inside the steak and enlighten it and fill it with flavor. And then you cook it. That's the idea here of meditation. We are called and given an example by the psalmist to marinate in God's word. The Hebrew word carries the idea of continually repeating it in our minds. Whether that's in our minds or aloud, it's repetition, knowing it, memorizing God's word, marinating in it. Oftentimes, personally, and maybe you can relate, I read God's word to get it done. I read it just to say, all right, I've read it today like I was supposed to do, and I go to the next task after I finish it. But that does us really not much good if we're not doing it with the intention of knowing it, of learning it, of understanding it, of pondering all the rest of the day as we go on. I think it's important to read God's word. I think it's important for me specifically to read it in the morning so that I am there with it. It is the first thoughts on my mind so that through the rest of the day, it is continually being mulled over, chewed on, marinating in my mind. Now, as a culture, I would say that we're probably one of the most apathetic cultures that have existed. We are uninterested or unenergized in God's word. We don't want to spend time in it because we have so many distractions. But we also are in an age where we have the most resources of God's word. I mean, in my office, I have 12 copies of the Bible, all in different translations and forms, sitting there. It is abundant. We have apps all over the place that will help us read God's word, apps that will even read the word to us and track our progress as we read through. We have books. We have hundreds of pastors and hundreds of churches who just put their sermons out to be listened to. But we just don't take advantage of it. I think we ought to. We need to make intentional time to read God's word, to know God's word. We need to take intentional time to do intentional things, to meditate on it, and to be changed by it. Obviously, there's not much hope in this world, but I can promise you, as we'll talk about in a second, there is much hope here. God's word changes us. I pray that we each have a new desire, starting today, to get into the word, to read it, to be taught by it, to meditate upon it. Because if that's the case, then the next characteristic will hopefully come more easily, and that's the characteristic of keeping God's word. The psalmist says 22 different times, I will keep your word. The word keep is a tricky word because it's so broad in its meaning. I looked up just on dictionary.com the definition of keep. And there were probably about 25 definitions of the word to keep. But I think where the psalmist is focused and what we really need to be thinking on when we want to keep God's word is this, is to be faithful to it, to act fittingly in relation to it, to conform to it in habit or in conduct, to be in accord with it, to watch over God's word, and defend it, to take care of it, and to maintain it. If we are being taught God's word, if we are being meditating in God's word, then the next step is to keep it, to hold it, to conform our life to it, to be changed by it, but also to guard and protect it and to maintain it and to spread it to others around us and to the next generation. God's word should be the most important thing in our life. It should be a treasure to us that we desire regularly. Will you keep God's word? It's really interesting. Verse 67 of Psalm 119, the psalmist says this. Before, speaking of his life before, I was afflicted. I went astray. But now, after a turning point, he says, I keep your word. Before you were saved, you were afflicted. Before you were a slave, saved, you went astray. That's characteristic of most of us before we were saved. But now, is it characteristic of you? Is it characteristic of me to say that I keep God's word? I do it. I love it. I express it. I read it. I meditate on it. Lastly, what we see from this text is the psalmist hopes in God's word. The psalmist hopes in God's word. Let me just read the 8 verses really quickly where he uses the word hope. Verse 43, he says, "And take not your word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for my hope is in your rules." 49, "Remember your word to your servant, I, which you have made me hope." 74, "Those who fear you shall see me and rejoice, because I have hoped in your word." 81, "My soul longs for your salvation. I hope in your word." 114, "You are my hiding place and my shield. I hope in your word. Uphold me according to your promise, that I may live, and let me not be put to shame in my hope." 147, "I rise before the dawn and cry for help. I hope in your words. And lastly, in 166, I hope for your salvation, O Lord, and I do your commandments. We know this world is hopeless. We know that it is empty. We know that it is broken. And the reason why is obvious. It says, just read in Genesis 6, the whole world was stuck and practiced violence continually. Since Genesis 3, humanity has been separated from God, and inherently we are sinful. That is our nature. And sin is not godliness. And so when you have a whole humanity broken and sinful, continually passing over their own passions, of course you're going to have hopelessness. Of course you're going to have brokenness. Of course you're going to have destruction. It's par for the course. But as believers, even as the psalmist, he had hope. He had hope in God's word. Well, what is hope? In the sense that this word is being used in the Hebrew, yahel, is a hope that is not passive. It's not a pacifying wish of the imagination, which drowns out troubles. Nor is it uncertainty. But rather, yahel, hope, is the solid ground of expectation for the righteous. As such, it is directed towards God. Yahel, hope, is eager expectation of future good and deliverance. That is the hope that we have in the scriptures. Eager expectation of future good and deliverance. This world is hard, but we have future hope. We have future hope. The first hope that was given in the all of Scripture is in Genesis 3, the Proto-Evangelium, where God tells the serpent that he will bite the man's heel, but the man will crush his head. He gives them hope in the very beginning that there will be a head crusher. There will be a Savior who will end sinlessness. And in the New Testament, we see that is perfectly fulfilled in the life, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He is our hope. He is our salvation. God brought it to pass when he promised 6,000 years ago. And even if it takes 6,000 years in the future, he will bring our hope to pass. We will be glorified and will dwell with him forever if we're trusting in Jesus. That is our hope. That was the hope of the psalmist because of the promises that he found in God's word. Are you tired? Do you feel broken? Do you feel distressed, anxious, hurting? Go to God's word and it will give you hope. Ask God to teach you. And he will give you hope. Meditate on God's word. Marinate in it. Ponder it often in your mind. And you will find hope. Keep God's commandments and persevere. And you will find much hope. This is the psalmist's heart in Psalm 119. He's persecuted and afflicted and hurt and empty and broken and about to die. But he does not forget God's word. He knows it. He's taught by it. He meditates on it. He keeps it. And he has found hope. The same can be for me and you if we will treat this, God's word, of more than just a book on a shelf, but if we will treat it as what it truly is, absolute truth and hope. Let's pray. Father, we praise you for your word. We thank you for it. Help us to spend time in it this week. Help us to dwell within it. Help us to know it and to love it and to live it. Help us to ponder and meditate upon it. Let us not take a break from it, O Lord. Help us to take a break from technology and stress so that we may focus on your word. Help us to make time for it, I pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen.